One of the great psalms is Psalm 3. It is the psalm that we might call a morning psalm, in which the psalmist prays in distress. Notice it begins, Mizmor le David, b'borcho m'pnei Avshalom beno. A psalm of David, when he fled from before Absalom, his son. Mizmor, notice, is just a noun, and the Lamed here introduces a genitive. It's a psalm of David, or belonging to David. The Lamed can mean that David is the author of the psalm, commonly referred to as a Lamed Actoris, the Lamed of authorship, or it can simply look at a psalm belonging to the Davidic collection, or a psalm about David. It can have those variant meanings. I personally prefer seeing David as the author of this psalm. So a psalm of or belonging to David, a genitive of possession, introduced by the Lamed, followed by the Borcho, when he fled. Notice be is the preposition that introduces the infinitive construct Borcho with the pronominal suffix third masculine singular in the O. The verb is barach, I should say, to flee, and the bait is introducing a temporal kind of a clause here. So a psalm belonging to David in his fleeing, or when he fled, mitbnei Avshalom beno, from before Absalom his son. The mem here, notice the noon of the men has assimilated into the P with the doggish forte in the P, and simply from is the way we would render the mem, the preposition here. And then pene is a noun in construct with Avshalom, from literally the faces of Absalom, or the face of Absalom. The noun actually is panayim, meaning face, but it's that dual noun in construct here with its seder yod, and it becomes prepositional in usage here, from before, or from the face, maybe would be the best way to translate this, from the face of Absalom, Avshalom, is just the proper name for Absalom, beno, his son. Notice ben is the noun meaning son, and o is your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So we begin this psalm with the inscription that is dealing with the time when David is fleeing from Absalom, probably 2 Samuel. We could read 2 Samuel 15 to 17, describes the background for this psalm. As we move on in verse 2 and 3, David is describing what he is up against, or the psalmist is describing that. Notice, Adonai marabu tsarai, rabim kamim alai. O Lord, or Lord, here we have a noun that is almost like a vocative of address. O Lord, in the Tetragrammaton, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name for the covenant God. O Lord, how many are my adversaries? Ma rabu tsarai. Ma is used here as an interrogative adverb. How? And rabu is from the verb rabab, actually a double ayin root with the vav now going back into the bait by reverse assimilation in this cow, a perfect third masculine singular form with the u suffix. So how many are my adversaries? How they are many, we could say, namely my adversaries. So we could just render it, how many are my adversaries? Notice tsar is the word for adversary. And notice here, I, the pronominal suffix with the pathak yod, is often put on plural nouns. So how many are my adversaries? David is feeling overwhelmed by the multitude of adversaries that no doubt have joined Absalom against him. Notice he continues, Rabim kamim alai, many rise up against me. Notice Rabim is the adjective masculine plural from Rav. And here we double the bait in the when we add the plural im suffix to it. So many, we could almost supply people or ones. Kamim, rise up against me. Kamim is a middle weak verb, kum, but here it's a participle. It's a masculine plural participle, kal participle, from kum. And notice the im suffix makes it a masculine plural, and the participle is kum in the singular, but kamim in the plural, because it is plural here. So many ones are rising up al against me. Al is the preposition meaning against. And notice I is your pronominal suffix, first common singular. However, it's a pronominal suffix that is often put on a plural noun. Here, it's put on the preposition al. That is something that happens all the time in the Hebrew Bible. So many are the ones who rise up against me. The psalmist is feeling overwhelmed here. We have a parallelism, a synonymous parallelism in the two clauses. O Lord, how they are many, my adversaries, and many people rise up against me. He feels overwhelmed in all those that have risen up against him. And then he goes on, Rabim omrim lenafshi, ein yeshuata lo ve'elohim seila. Many are saying to my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. Notice again, Rabim is your adjective masculine plural from Rab, followed by Omrim, which is a participle, a cal active participle, masculine plural with the im suffix. Notice the O vowel indicates a participle here, a cal participle, then we have le nafshi. Many are saying, literally, to my soul, or we would translate this, of my soul. The lamed here, again, is introducing a genitive in nafshi, and it's a preposition that's making that introduction. So we would render it, many are saying of my soul, literally to my soul, hence meaning of my soul, a genitive of possession here. And notice nefesh is the noun meaning soul, and nafsh puts it into construct with the pronominal suffix e, the hirik yod, first person singular pronominal suffix. So many are saying of my soul, concerning my soul, ain yeshuata lo. There is no salvation for him. Notice, ain is your negative particle, and yeshua is the word for salvation. And so, yeshuata here is the noun meaning, it's a feminine singular noun, meaning salvation. By the way, this is where the word Yeshua comes from, meaning Jesus or Savior. Except here, it's looking at the lack of salvation that the enemies of David are feeling about him. There is no salvation for him, is what they're saying. Notice the lamed here is the inseparable preposition, lamed, followed by the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in the O. So there is no salvation for him in God. The bait here is your preposition, followed by the proper name for God, Elohim. So historically, Be Elohim became Be Elohim, where the hurried, the Chatev Segol, under the Aleph here, elides. And we have compensatory lengthening with the Tzeri. So there is no salvation for him in God, is what they're saying, Selah. Selah, by the way, occurs around 71 times in the Psalms. We're not sure as to what this means. It might indicate perhaps that instant music will be introduced at this point, or it could be a pause. We're not sure exactly what it means. It's a musical notation. So at any rate, notice what they're saying, many are saying, concerning my soul, of my soul, the psalmist is saying, there is no salvation in God for him. God has given him over to our judgment. What a plight to be in. The feeling of danger in David's situation here. The feeling of being in a dangerous situation from enemies that want to see him destroyed, that are rising up against him. And here is David by himself, at least outnumbered by all that were following Absalom, according to the inscription as we begin this psalm. Often in life, we can feel overwhelmed by all of the circumstances of life that may arise against us. All kinds of things can happen. Especially when you're in the ministry trying to serve the Lord. But the good news is, even though it appears all loss, as he moves into verses 4 and 5, the Lord is going to be his constant and sure help. And that is true in our lives as we go through life, to know that whatever we face, all of the discouragements and all the things that happen, we can be assured that the Lord will be a shield to us. And so the psalmist goes on to describe that. Notice verse 4. Ba'ata Adonai magen ba'adi, kevodi umerim roshi. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Notice the ve here is a contrastive use of the vav. We would render it but, and ata is the personal pronoun, second masculine singular. But you, O Lord, again, here we have the address to the Lord, a personal noun of address. And Yod Heh Vav Heh looks at the covenant God, but you, O Lord, are, and we supply the verb to be here, are a magen, a shield. Shield is a noun masculine singular, looking at the protection that the Lord is going to provide him. It is interesting, in Abraham's narrative of Genesis 15:1, God provides that shield for Abraham, and now he's doing it for David, and all the way through we have this. We as believers today need to see that Jesus Christ is that shield of protection that surrounds us, just like we're reading of Yahweh providing that shield for David. I'm reminded when Paul talks about being left alone in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he had the good news to say that the Lord stood with him. While everybody else had abandoned him, the Lord was with him. And then Kevodi, my glory, in other words, God is going to establish David as his glorious king and lift him up. It'll come from him, not from his own strength. My glory, and the noun here, kavod, is in construct, meaning glory, with the pronominal suffix e, first common singular. So God is my shield about me, and I should say ba'adi. Ba'ad is the preposition followed by the pronominal suffix, first common singular, in the e. So God is, the Lord is the shield about me, my glory, the one who establishes my right, my regal glory as king, umerim roshi, and the lifter up of my head. U is just your conjunction, and vem me, often instead of having a ve, when you have followed by a mem or a labial here, it will change to a shurik instead of the ve. So, and merim, the one who lifts my head. Notice merim is from the root rum, a middle weak verb to lift up. It is a hifil, a participle, masculine singular from rum, with the mem prefix in the participial form here. So the one who lifts up my head. Rosh is the noun meaning head, and E is again the pronominal suffix, first common singular. And to lift up the head is to establish one, to take one from humiliation and lift him up and magnify him. And so David is seeing that as that which comes from Yahweh. He's going to be his protector. He's going to be his glory, establishing his right as a king in the midst of this revolt. And he will be the one that will elevate him, that will lift up his head, allow him to stand erect again as the king. And I might say that in times of discouragement in life, the Lord is the one who will lift us up and exalt us. We do not do it by our own strength. He is the lifter up of our head. I'm reminded of Psalm 110, where we have the same reference relative, I believe, to Christ and to his victory as a king and a priest, looking at, I believe, his atoning work and his ultimate victory of entering into priesthood as a king. It says, he will drink in the brook in the way, verse 7, therefore he will yarim rosh, he will lift up the head. This great psalm, by the way, Psalm 110, is applied throughout the New Testament to Jesus. I love the way it begins in verse 1, Nu madonai laduni, shev lemini arashido yavecha hadom laraglecha. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. That's quoted all through the New Testament. We see it, for example, where Jesus said, why did Messiah, why is he called Lord by David, if David is his servant in Matthew 22, and we see in the resurrection Christ is exalted in Acts chapter 2 as the king, and he's poured out the Spirit. And then we see that same reference of Jesus being exalted in Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 15. He is reigning on David's throne until he make all enemies the footstool of his feet, the last of which is death. But not only do we see kingship, but we see priesthood. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Ne'um Adonai v'lo yenachem. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Atahochein. You are a priest le'olam forever al divrati Melchizedek, after the order of Melchizedek. But it's right in that context then where it talks about lifting up his head. And I'm reminded that while Jesus, in the crucifixion, his head drooped when he gave up his spirit, it's lifted up in the bodily resurrection that followed on the first day after Sabbath, on the third day that Jesus arose. So it's interesting, while this text is speaking of David as the king and his head being lifted up, the same phraseology of the head being lifted up is applied in Psalm 110, verse 7, of the final David in his victory over sin and over death and all that that means. And that gives us hope, because if we have our faith in the resurrected Lord, we can know that we are raised with Him. We are seated with Him in the heavenlies, Paul says in Ephesians 2, that no matter what happens in this life, we know that we have the victory through Jesus and through what He has accomplished. At any rate, going back to Psalm 3 again, notice verse 5. Koli al Adonai ekra, v'ya'aneni mehar kodsho selah. My voice, or with my voice, unto the Lord I will call, and He answers me from the mountain of His holiness, from His holy mountain, Selah. Notice, Koli, my voice, and we probably need to supply here with my voice, understood. Kol is a noun, masculine singular, followed by the pronominal suffix, first common singular in the E. So with my voice, El Adonai, unto the Lord. El is the preposition meaning unto, and Yod He Vav He again is the tetragrammaton, the covenant Lord. Unto the Lord, Ekra, I cry. Notice Ekra is from the root Kara, to call out. It is a cal imperfect, first common singular from kara, with the aleph prefix. So I cry. We're looking at an ongoing action in this imperfect form here. Vaya aneni, and He answers me out of His holy mountain. Notice va is the vav consecutive here, followed by ya aneni. Ya aneni is from the root ana. It's a lamed he verb, where the he has elided or dropped out. And notice it's an imperfect. He will answer me. It's a hifil, imperfect, third masculine singular from Ana. Notice the A seri, the AE vowel pattern. He will cause me to be answered. And notice the E here is your pronominal suffix, first common singular. And the last, or the noon, the second noon, is a hinge leading us to the E, since the He has elided. So, and or dropped out. And He answered me from, the mem here has the meaning of from, har kodsho, from the mountain of his holiness, or out of his holy mountain. Notice the mem preposition here, from, is followed by har, a noun in construct, masculine singular meaning noun, with another noun, holy. Notice kodsho is the noun meaning holy, and then or holiness, we could say, and the o is a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So from the mountain of his holiness, he answers me, he causes me to have an answer. And Selah, again, is that pause or that musical notation, whether it's having to do with some sort of notation to the musicians, we're not sure, or a pause exactly again what that means. But notice, he's going to lift up his voice to the Lord, and he's confident that the Lord will answer him, or answers him, from his holy mountain. Even though he's driven away from Jerusalem, he believes that the Lord's presence will answer him from Jerusalem, hear his prayer, and become his shield. One of the things that we need to do is to lift up our voice to the Lord. Jesus talks about praying. If you ask in my name, I will do it. And we need to call out to him as Jesus prayed to the Father constantly for his encouragement and help. And the Lord will hear us from his heavenly Mount Zion. And so just as David feels that his prayer is answered, so we can feel that our prayers are answered as we pray to the Lord, who now is our reigning sovereign at the right hand of the Father in Jesus our Lord. Notice then in verse 6, he continues with real confidence now that he can get really a good night's sleep, that he can sleep and relax, knowing that the Lord is going to help him. Notice it says in verse 6, Ani shechafti ve'ishana, I lay down and I sleep. Hakitsoti ki Adonai yismacheni. I awake, for the Lord will sustain me, or sustain me. So I lay down. I'm going to lie down. Notice I is just your pronoun, first common singular, from ani. Shechafti is from the verb shechav, to lie down. It's the cal perfect, first common singular with the T suffix. So I lie down and I sleep. The root for sleep is yashan, to sleep. And notice with the aleph prefix, we are looking here at a cal imperfect, first common singular from yashan. So ishana, the ah making it emphatic, and the vav here is just your vav consecutive. So I lie down and I will sleep, or I sleep. By the way, this yashan is a historically peyod verb where the yod is retained. Under the hirik we have, or under the aleph we have a hirik followed by a yod. So it was not a pe-vav verb, it was always historically a pe-yod verb. In Hebrew, there are pe-vav verbs like vashav, becoming yeshav in the imperfect. Or to, let's say, hear, yashan, becoming ishan instead of eshan. We're not losing the yod. This is what we call a historically consistent pe-yod verb rather than a pe-vav verb. But at any rate, I sleep, I awake, hekitsoti. Notice this is from the root to awake, the root kots, to awake. And here we have a hifil perfect first common singular in hekitsoti, from coats, to awake. So I will cause to awake, for the conjunction ki, the Lord, will or sustains me. We can put it all in the present here with these imperfects too. The Lord sustains me. Yismacheni, from samach, to sustain. Notice again we have your cow imperfect, third masculine singular, from samach, with the hinge in the tseri nun, followed by the pronominal suffix in the e. So I awake, will cause to awake, or have caused to awake, for the Lord sustains me, or will sustain me. I remember years ago, my pastor making the statement, he always was afraid a lot, and wondering what the future would hold, and how finances would come in his church. But he said, one day I was reading where the Lord never sleeps or slumbers. And I decided, in a humorous way, he said, that there's no need of both of us staying up all night. And so here we have the comfort that David finds in that he's able to sleep, knowing that he has a shield in the Lord that's always awake and taking care of him. So he says, I lie down and I sleep. I awake then, for the Lord sustains me. And as he continues on in verse 7, he then is praying for that deliverance that the Lord's going to bring, or continuing, I should say, the confidence that he has in the Lord, followed then by the deliverance in verses 8 and 9. Notice, Lo ira merivot am asher saviv shatu alai. I will not fear from 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me or round about me. Notice the negative particle lo, not, followed by the cow imperfect first common singular from yara, here ira, again another peyod verb, and a lamed aleph verb. So I will not fear or be afraid because of or from 10,000s of people. In other words, whatever obstacles are there, I'm not going to be afraid, David is saying. And notice the may here is the preposition from. And revava means 10,000. An innumerable number is the thought here. Since the Lord is his strength, he's not going to be afraid of innumerable foes that would be against him, innumerable obstacles. And notice the ot here is the feminine plural ending of revava. So I will not be afraid of the multitudes or 10,000s of people. Again, here's a feminine plural noun in construct with am, meaning people. I will not have to be afraid of that. Asher saviv, which have set themselves around me. Asher is the relative pronoun, and saviv is the adverb around, followed by shatu, which is from sheet, to place around. And notice it's simply the cow perfect, third common plural with the u suffix from sheet, that have placed about me. And notice al again is the preposition about, or we could render this probably against me. And I is your pronominal suffix, first common singular on al, which is consistent with al here, even though it's usually put on a plural noun. We have it here on al. So I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me, round about me. that have placed themselves round about, literally against me. What a prayer of or a feeling of assurance here. And I think we as believers, followers of the Lord Jesus, can know that nothing can ever sever us from His love. Neither things present, Paul says in Romans 8, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will ever be able to sever us from that reassurance of His love. And so we see this theme here, and we see it in the New Testament, and especially, I think, in Romans 8 we see it. As we go on in verse 8, Kuma Adonai Hoshieni Elohai Ki Hikita et Kol Or Yevai Lechi. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Notice Kuma is from the root kum, and here it's a cow imperative, second person singular from kum. So arise, kuma, and making it emphatic here, arise, O Lord, and here we have the address again to Yod Heh Vav Heh, to Yahweh, all the way through here, and then save me, cause me to be saved, O my God. Notice Hoshieni is from the root Yasha, to save, and Yasha here, with the hey prefix, ho, is showing it to be a hifil, a perfect third masculine singular from yasha, followed by the pronominal suffix in the hirik yod, mi, with the hinge, ein, connecting the verb with the pronominal suffix. Notice as we look at this, historically, this is an example of a peivav verb. The peivav verb would have been vasha, and historically the hey would have had a pathak under it. So he would have had a how she'eni, a pathak vav, or an aw, that coalesced or came together, forming a holam vav, a long holam vav. So that's the way the hifil develops here. It's a little bit different. Years ago, I called this the weird vav, holam vav, and a hifil. Later on, I found out that historically what had happened, the aval, the pathak, historically under the hay, which hifils started with an aval, went to attenuated into an I later. Then, when it was brought together with the vav, Al, or Alv, A-W, it then became O at some point in the historical development. It became a Holam Vav. So, how she ani, and so here we have this Holam Vav followed by the Hirik Yod and the He prefix indicating that this is a Hifil. So, arise, O Lord, cause to save me. Save me, O my God. Notice Elohai is from Elohim, but in construct, Elo, and then we add I with the pronominal suffix on a plural noun, first common singular. So, save me, O my God, for... Now, this ki is rather interesting here. Normally, ki is a conjunction meaning for. Here, it could be like an adverbial use of the key. Indeed, you have smitten all of my enemies on the cheek, is one way that we might render this. You have broken the teeth of the wicked. Possibly, it could be rendered for, you have smitten all of my enemies, looking at what the Lord is going to do, still understanding that key here is just the simple use of for as a conjunction. Or it could be, indeed, you have smitten all of my enemies on the cheek, is another way of rendering the key here. And that may make more sense in the context here. In other words, arise, O Lord, save me, for you will smite my enemies, or you caused to smite, we could say, all of my enemies. I'm just wondering if we look at this as a hifil perfect though, if indeed, if he's looking at a completed action, indeed you have smitten all of my enemies upon the cheek, as though it's something already done, if we translate it as indeed. If it's just for, it could be looking at, again, a futuristic action that he's expecting, deliverance from enemies that are suppressing him. For you have smitten. Notice the root here is from the verb nakach. It is a pei nun plus a lamed he, and you have a he prefix, so it's simply your hifil perfect, second masculine singular with the ta, for you have smitten, followed by or caused to smite, at the sign of the direct object, kol oyevai lechi. You have smitten all of my enemies. Notice kol here is the totality, a noun in construct, with oyevai. Oyev is the word for enemy. Here, those who are my adversaries, we're looking at a kal participle masculine singular with the ova, oyev, the one who is my enemy, except the I is your pronominal suffix put on a plural noun or as a participle here, my enemies. So you have smitten all of my enemies. We have a kal, is the way I'm understanding it then, a participle, plural, in construct with I, oyev, and then you add the I, all of my enemies, on the cheek. We must supply a bait before this, in or upon the cheek. Lechi is just the noun meaning cheek. So you've smitten all of my enemies on the cheek, and you have broken broken the teeth of the wicked. Notice shenayim becomes shenay, meaning teeth, in construct here, plural construct, with rasha. Rasha is the adjective meaning wicked, and here it's in the plural form, reshaim. You have broken the teeth of the wicked ones. And notice, shibarti is your PL perfect, second masculine singular from shavar, to shatter or break. Notice the PL here is classic, with the hirik followed by the doubling of the middle radical and the bait, and then the pronominal suffix in the ta. So the teeth of the wicked ones you have broken. This could be like a prophetic kind of a perfect here. You will break, or you have smitten, or will smite, I should say, all my enemies. So he's looking at something that will happen. Indeed, you have smitten. If that's the case, we're looking at an assured deliverance that he feels. And then the teeth of the wicked you will break, or you have broken. To the Lord, then, is salvation. By the way, to break the teeth of the wicked, I believe, simply means depriving them of all of their harm. Like if you have a dog that is toothless, it can't hurt you if it bites you. And so we're looking at how God is diffusing the power of David's enemies here, and that's a beautiful picture, I believe, of what Christ has done in his defeat of sin, of death, of Satan, of the demons. He has broken the teeth of all of these spiritual foes of those who are followers of Jesus. Their power has been broken in his death and his resurrection, his bodily resurrection. So as we go on then, let Adonai HaYeshua, to the Lord belongs HaYeshua, salvation. The Lamed here is the Lamed of possession, belonging to the Lord, followed by Yod Hey Vav Hey, is salvation. HaYeshua. Yeshua, again, is the noun meaning salvation. So David now is praising the Lord. To the Lord is this deliverance. He does not take this as something that he is able to do by his own power, but it's to the Lord who has wrought this. And that can be our great praise to the Lord too, because he's the one that has effected deliverance for us. It wasn't in redemption. It wasn't anything that we have done. It's his great grace that has triumphed in Jesus on our behalf. And that al amacha birchatecha selah. Upon your people is your blessing, selah. And now he expands this to not just his own deliverance, but he sees the blessing upon the whole people. And of course, we as individuals can apply that same truth universally to all believers. As the Lord rescues us, he also brings a blessing upon all who put their faith in him. So al is a preposition followed by am, the noun, and the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, in the cha, upon your people is your blessing. And notice bircha is the noun meaning blessing, feminine singular, in construct now with ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, followed then by that repetitious selah that we've seen in two previous notations in the psalm. So what a beautiful way to conclude the psalm, that God's blessing is not only to him, that salvation comes to the psalmist, but also he wishes God's blessing upon all Israel and all people who have their faith in the Lord. We as Christians today believe that it's through Jesus that we have salvation, and upon all who put their faith in him as Lord and Savior, they experience that wonderful blessing of deliverance from Satan and the demons and sin and death, because the Lord has already made them toothless by his death and victorious resurrection, bodily resurrection on the third day. What a beautiful psalm that prays in the morning for the Lord's deliverance in the distress that the psalmist is going through with innumerable foes, but confident that the Lord will be his shield, even though there be 10,000s rallied against him, because the Lord is the source of his salvation. And how true that is for us today as believers in Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the source of our deliverance and our salvation.